The second reading, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1, which will also serve as the sermon text today. Paul writes, I give thanks to the one who empowered me, namely, Christ Jesus our Lord, that he treated me as trustworthy, appointing me into his ministry. He did this even though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. But I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord overflowed on me along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I was shown mercy for this reason, that in me, the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his unlimited patience as an example for those who are going to believe in him, resulting in eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, to the immortal, invisible, only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A few months ago in New Jersey, a man was sentenced to 375 years in prison because he had committed 3 murders and wanted to commit 3 more. And I'll admit to you that my first thought when reading that article wasn't, man, that guy would make a great pastor someday. No, I thought, I don't even want to read this. This is the worst. But today, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy says, oh, you think that guy's bad? You could almost see him shaking his head as verse 12 is written, as he says, I'm a pastor. Me. I give thanks to the one who empowered me, he says, namely Christ Jesus our Lord, that he treated me as trustworthy, appointing me into his ministry. Paul is saying the worst sinner I know can serve as a trustworthy minister. And he describes why he calls himself the worst sinner. He says, Jesus did this even though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, but I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Even though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. If you want to read in detail how Paul describes his life before Jesus brought him to faith, you can read the book of Acts, and it reads almost like a rabid dog, some violent creature frothing at the mouth, chasing down Christians and persecuting them, trying to force them to deny Jesus, even killing them. It's like the kind of dog you see if you're walking outside or walking on the boulevard. You see it frothing at the mouth. You think, that is a dangerous dog. You try to get away as soon as possible. You don't look at that dog and say, aw, can we keep him? But Paul says, this is what I was like. And Jesus looked at me and said, I pick you. I consider you a trustworthy minister. You're going to serve me now. And before we think, well, you know what? Jesus saw his potential. Jesus knew he was just misunderstood. He just needed a little love. Listen to what Paul says next. He says, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And he's not saying, well, it's because I was ignorant. You know, Jesus was saying, oh, he just doesn't know better. I just need to teach him a little bit. No, the because here is Paul showing the evidence of how much mercy he's been shown. It's kind of like in Luke chapter 7, when that woman comes to Jesus and she cries and she covers his feet with her tears and she wipes him clean. And Jesus says, her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much. He's saying, you can tell. You could tell that I have forgiven her so much. You can tell that she knows it by the way she's acting, by her behavior. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you could tell that Jesus had to show me mercy because I was acting like a crazy person. I was acting ignorantly in unbelief. I was chasing down Christians and I thought I was serving God. I was following God's commands in the Old Testament like I could earn salvation from him, and that was never possible. What Paul is saying is that he really needed mercy. He was like the dog nobody wants to adopt. He's not like a person with a spiritual limp. And Jesus says, well, I'm just going to tie up your ankle. You'll be fine. No, he's spiritually leprous through and through. He needs help. He's saying, I wasn't a righteous person. I was a sinner. And Jesus looked at me and showed me mercy. And Paul needed all of it. Not a drop of mercy, not a cup of mercy. He needed God's overflowing mercy. He says, the grace of our Lord overflowed on me, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the worst. Still now, Paul says, I'm the worst sinner I know. And Christ picked me. Why does Jesus pick someone like Paul to serve in the ministry? Well, it's not just because sinners are the only options he has. He looks down on earth and says, well, I need to pick someone to be a pastor. Well, they're all sinners. I guess I'll just pick one. No, God could do it differently. God could send his angels. No, God picks people like Paul because of what Paul says here. These are the people for whom Christ came. Christ Jesus came into the world for sinners to save them. What he's saying is God is not like some virtue signaling God far away in the distance saying, I don't like sin. And those sinners, yeah, they've got it pretty rough. Someone should really do something about that. And then he retreats to his big, glorious heavenly castle and makes sure his angels keep those people off his lawn. No, Christ Jesus left everything. He left paradise to come into the world to be with sinners, and it's not because they were such great company. Even the hand-selected disciples he chose abandoned him on the night he was betrayed. No, he came into this world of sinners who would be ignorant and reject him in unbelief, people who would kill him. But he came for them, to save them, and even to use them to share that grace, to serve him in his kingdom. These are the people that God picks to serve as workers in his church. That's what it was like with Moses. Moses was not the best candidate. Moses was a murderer. Moses was past his prime. Moses himself didn't want to serve. Who am I, Lord? Send someone else. But God said, I am who I am. I'll save the Israelites, but I'm sending you. God chose Paul out of grace. And still today, God chooses people to serve in the church who really could be seen as the worst. Now you don't have people who are looking for teachers and looking for pastors going to MLC call day or Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary call day and saying, hey, can you pick me the worst one of this bunch? Can you pick me the one with the worst grades? Can you pick me the one who got in the most trouble? No. All of those people prepared by God for the church, they're qualified according to 1 Timothy chapter 3. That comes later in this letter. They're not living in gross public sin that would be a detriment to the ministry. But the point is, God has chosen sinners to serve. All of those called workers presented for the ministry say, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And God still calls them, not directly like he did back then with Moses in a burning bush or Paul appearing in a vision. He's not whispering in our ears saying, make sure you go to St. Paul's. No, he calls people now indirectly through the church, but the call is still God's. God says, I picked that person. I want them to serve in this place at this time. And yes, I know they're the worst, but I'm empowering them. I'm giving them grace to serve. And because God chooses the worst, sinners, to serve, he can also use them to be an example of his mercy. That's what Paul says next. He says, I am the worst sinner I know, but that makes me a great example of God's mercy. Paul writes, but I was shown mercy for this reason, that in me, the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his unlimited patience as an example for those who are going to believe in him, resulting in eternal life. Paul says, I am an example of God's unlimited patience. Unlimited patience. Maybe think about those commercials you've seen, or you've probably lived this out yourself, where there are kids in the back seat saying, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. How long does it take until someone loses their patience? Until somebody snaps? Get away from me. Paul says, I do that to God. I'm not touching you. Paul says, this was my life. When he's writing 1 Timothy, he's writing a little bit against teachers who are trying to sneak into Timothy's church. People who are saying, yeah, God's word is just kind of a nice thing to follow. It's interesting. Sure, there's some laws there. Just follow the rules. They'll make your life a little better and God will love you. It'll be fine. And Paul is saying, no, that's not what God's word is about. You're using it wrong. God's word is about how God has unlimited patience with people who never can be good enough for him. People who are always poking him with their sin. And Paul says, this is what I was like. I was looking at the Old Testament saying, oh, look at this. This is easy. God, I didn't do that. I didn't break that rule. I didn't break that rule. I'm not touching you. Pretty good, huh? And then Paul was going and chasing after other Christians and persecuting them and thinking he was doing something good for God. See, this is good, right? I'm serving you. I'm not touching you. And even after God called him by his grace, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, well, now I know I am touching God. I'm struggling against my sin every day. And yet Paul's still writing these words. He hasn't been wiped off the face of the earth. He's an example of God's unlimited patience. God hasn't snapped at him yet. Some people serve as an example of God's judgment. Pharaoh is an example in Exodus chapter 3. He knew better. He knew the truth, and he still rejected God. He hardened his heart, and God said, I'm going to use Pharaoh as an example of my judgment of those who continue to reject me. But Paul, he got to serve as an example of mercy, to stand in front of God's people and say, I am the worst, and I'm still here, because we have a patient and merciful God. And that's every called worker. That's every church worker. If we're still here, that means God is still patient. God is still merciful. It's part of the reason why we wear these white robes. Don't have to wear a white robe, but if we're wearing one that's white, we're saying, I have a perfection that's not my own. I am clothed with Jesus' robe of righteousness. That's the only reason I can stand up here. That's the only reason I can serve God. I was just a little bit worried in early service because the power went out right after the part in the Exodus reading where we read, I am who I am. Shugung! I thought, well, I was going to be an example of God's patience, but maybe this is it. Maybe when the lights come back on, you're going to see this little pile of dust up here. But none of us deserve to serve God. And yet we're still here. And every called worker, every church worker admits this, confesses along with everyone else, of course, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And when you walk into church and you see that pastor is still up there, you have an example that God is still merciful, that God is still gracious, and we're all able to continue to worship by his grace. You have an example that what God says is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance. Not just for called workers, but for everyone. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We all test God's patience. And sometimes it is, if you're not a called worker, it's questioning the called workers that God has given you. God gave them to you through the church, and sometimes you can think, well, that teacher, though, not as good as the teacher I had growing up, or that pastor, we should probably get a better one because the church keeps shrinking. No, God, I'm not touching you. I'm just questioning your worker here. It's testing God's patience. But we come before God, and we ask for mercy. God, I know those workers need your mercy just like I do. And I know you've chosen that worker to be a trustworthy minister. You've qualified them. You've called them. And so I can accept God's mercy from them. The ministry of the gospel through them. The example that God is a merciful God. This saying is worthy of full acceptance. Every moment of your life. Especially when you think, I've tested God too much. His patience has finally run out. This saying is worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He welcomes us, all of us, around his table, just like he did in the gospel reading. My dad often says, never trust a skinny chef. And what is he saying? Well, if the chef's really good, then that chef is probably enjoying a lot of his or her own cooking, and it should show. Never trust a skinny called worker. And not a physically skinny one, but a spiritually skinny one. Every called worker in God's kingdom is sitting at the table of God's grace, feasting, and saying to everybody else gathered together, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Come, join. Join Jesus at the table of his mercy, and we will feast with him forever. That's a merciful God, and a God that we can't help praise, like the Apostle Paul, who says at the end of the reading, now to the King eternal, to the immortal, invisible, only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.